Welcome to Loose Screws Podcast. This is episode 185.
Speak up. I can't hear you.
I'm going to whisper even harder now.
Yes, welcome. Episode
185. Hello,
what?
May 22nd of 3309.
It's 30. Oh, wait.
And welcome.
What?
He said welcome.
I'm NL Hate, and I'm going to introduce the folks sharing the screen with me here.
Sorry, this is the ASMR episode. Hey.
Hell yeah, it is.
This is your friendly Loose Screws podcast hosts. How's it going out there in the black, commanders?
Hey, I'm charging that FSD. Are
you ready for easy listening while cruising those shipping lanes and tracking down those vicious shurikens out in the black?
Yes, Teflon, please continue. What have you done this week?
I've been watching a wrestling tournament and called Best of the Super Juniors. If you watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, you would know about that. But you probably don't, so you don't care, which is fine. I have been reading a book called The Wolf and the Whale that I got for really cheap. It is about an Inuit woman who is trying to save her people and comes across a Viking in northern Canada. Well, at the time, and it was not Canada at the time, but in that kind of, in that territory in the year 1000. So, you know, the things that they're experiencing together, trying to save her people. So, I'm doing that. I'm also, getting ready to paint my house on the outside.
Ooh.
Probably tomorrow.
What color is that?
yeah. What color?
The color of paint my wife bought. I don't know.
Beautiful. Okay. It'll be a beautiful
solid
color.
Solid answer.
Are you at least using power tools?
Oh, yes.
Double solid. I appreciate that. Okay. Commander, Lieutenant Commander Data, Doctor,
hi.
Esquire.
Hello. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Hey. How you doing?
Okay. Wish you wouldn't have asked.
I mean, it's not what you just said.
Oh, yeah. I'm great.
Go ahead.
I've played Elite some the past week or two.
Gross.
Finally got off my lazy butt and got them caustic sink launchers. Got that there, Thargoid Pulse Neutralizer.
Nice.
So I've made a couple trips just gathering mats off of the Titan. Enjoying that spoopy atmosphere around it. I just killed a glaive like 2 minutes before we started recording.
Nice.
The first time.
Congratulations!
No skill. I just flew in reverse in a straight line and shot at it until it died.
But it died, and you got paid for it.
Yeah. So that was neat.
I am the cold-blooded sausage maker!
Another gaming news. It's been a couple weeks since I played Death Stranding, so I don't really have much else to say about that. Except it's weird, but pretty good. On my Nintendo Switch, I've been playing Stardew Valley, which is
I have that on Switch also.
It's a very, very fun game.
Oh my god, that game will eat your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's your farm? How do you have your farm set up?
I'm still in year one, so it's pretty basic. I've just got a basic farm plot, but I've got the big coop, so I got like 6 chickens and 2 ducks. I got my barn built, so I got my cows growing in there. So yeah.
Nice. Wait until start building sheds.
Yeah.
You start making wine, because that was my big thing in Stardew Valley. Was I made orchards on my property, on my farm. So I just had a bunch of fruit trees, and I was constantly making wine, and wine brings in a good amount of money when you sell it.
Okay. Right now I am using the eggs to make mayonnaise. Big old mayonnaise maker over here. And I also making jellies.
Yep, jelly. I made mayonnaise and jellies. And you can make all different kinds. Have you made the spicy jelly yet?
Yeah, I've gotten peppers, chili peppers, and made the...
How are you doing with the townsfolk? Are you making friends?
No. I've greeted everybody, but I'm not trying to make friends yet. I'm not trying to get married.
You don't have to get married to be friends with them.
I'm failing at all the city events. I didn't add anything to the soup, so the governor was disappointed.
If you find the mayor's shorts, throw them in the soup.
Oh, I'll have to do that. I know her there. I'm not friends with Marnie yet, so I can't get in there. But yeah, so got that going on. Excellent. I've got my wife and I were picking out a show to watch, and she's finally agreed to start watching The Wire with me. So I'm very excited about that. That is a fantastic show on HBO.
What's it about?
Police and...
Never mind. I just remembered. Like I don't care.
Very in brand.
That's about it.
Commander Boob.
Hey, everybody.
What have you been up to this week?
Oh, let's see. I'm a little breathless still. I just finished putting a cake in the oven. We got a great recipe from a friend a couple of years ago for a zucchini chocolate cake that is more a way to make something indulgent from your summer overflow than a way to get your kids to eat vegetables. It's got sugar and butter and oil and all kinds of cocoa powder and chocolate chips in it, but it makes a fantastic, maybe the best homemade chocolate cake I've ever made.
I've had chocolate zucchini cake before. It's really good.
Yeah, this one is sensational. It's got it going on. It calls for clabbered milk as an ingredient, though. That always kind of throws me off. I'm not familiar with that as an ingredient.
Hey, man, I think it's kind of like chunky butter. But it wasn't long enough. You know what I'm talking about.
And anyway, sour cream and milk and whatever, all kinds of good stuff. Other than that, more birds. You know, it's been kind of a brief, dry spell. There's a period when all the leaves show up and a bunch of the good birds aren't quite around yet. So you end up just kind of staring at trees. And they kind of turned our favorite birding place into a birding tourist attraction, sort of. So now there are like groups of people with guides and some paved trails. And so we were someplace else where we can have our dog with us and walking around. And this is something anybody can do. Just flipped open the Merlin, it's called, the bird app made by the eBird database people. And it just turns on the microphone and it will pop up a little indicator of whatever bird it hears right when it hears it. And there were some indigo buntings, of all things, little blue finches, finch-sized birds that are really, really boisterous and loud and make a lot of noise and call back and forth to each other and get in little fights. They're also, I'm almost reluctant to mention it, except I know we have dozens of listeners. They're also really responsive to the sound of their own call, which is kind of a ethically questionable thing to do as a birder. In this case, they're indigo buntings. They are numerous and aggressive with each other, and they're not going to make migration decisions based on hearing a mate around the corner, which does happen and is a reason you shouldn't generally play bird calls. But if you happen across a crowded wood full of indigo buntings, It can be kind of a show. So that was fun. In game, I'm off the buckyball for the moment. It's a couple of weeks downtime before settling into whatever the next one's going to be. The next one, I think, is going to involve flying through small holes at great speed. So I expect to blow up many times, probably in a dolphin, though I might try something really fast, but that just seems suicidal once you get into, like, Viper territory. Maybe I'll tank up a Viper Mark IV so I can just throw it at the tunnel and see if I can get it through. And then I've also been getting into the on foot a little bit, running some reactivation missions because they're a good way to get materials. I found a military settlement in Oya someplace. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's easy to find in the Discord. That is right in the mountains, and it's easy to get to and get out of. And has a whole bunch of, it's a military barrack, so it has a whole bunch of lockers. And the security office has a big rack behind it that has 6 or 7 schematics and a couple of things of graphene. So I've done that one several times, and just getting more of a sense of being on foot. And then beyond that, spreading a little bit of the Loose Screws good news on Twitter. I came across a post by Commander Exorcist that somebody on his Discord or something was really frustrated and having a hard time getting the caustic tissue samples so they could unlock the caustic generator. And, you know, without a fleet carrier, it can be tough to accumulate 5 of those without getting killed. So I just put up that I had 46 of them on my fleet carrier for sale in Jupiter in the Oya cluster if anybody wanted to come by and get them. And within about a day, I had no caustic tissue samples left. So hopefully people who needed them got them and are able to enjoy some more of our little game for my modest efforts. And then... No Fool Like One mentioned needing some tritium, so I put out the word that friendly folks are welcome in Lambda Andromeda to buy some of Nibla's artisanal hydrogen, not just the cheap stuff they sell every place else, and that we do offer complimentary fill-up services if you stop by and say hello. So everybody should do that.
For those that didn't quite hear that, if you come by and say hello, we will fill your carrier up if you have an appropriate buy order on in Lambda Andromeda.
And they usually even leave the fuel tank full. It's breathtaking when it happens. It is absolutely, it's like full service gasoline.
Yeah.
With a windshield wash and an oil change.
Don't get much better.
It really is.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey, sky's the limit and space is the place.
Never have truer words been spoken or recorded or sound bit. It's been a week. I weed whacked like 3/4 of an acre of, 2.5 foot tall grass. Because I couldn't get a bush hog and B, get a bush hog to where the grass that needed mowed was. And as a bit of my reward, I moved my computer from my living room into a spare room that we had created to be spare. Nice. And that's part of the reason that I'm here able to record the podcast this week is,
what's it to be spared from?
Other uses like, sleeping children, or storage, or having the vents blocked so I don't have to cool it or heat it. But I'm going to cool it and heat it and put my computer in here so I can have...
Or bears.
And to protect it from bears. Bears. Yes.
That's a good thing. Yeah. That's a good thing to,
spare it from bears. But, man, I've sold ice cubes to Eskimos in my lifetime, and also in the last few weeks.
I don't think you can use that word anymore.
Inuit ice cubes to native North American, Northern North Americans.
And how have you done that?
I've a great deal of salesmanship, and I'm real
that
good at it.
That doesn't surprise me.
I've sold so much bird seed and feed. So much bird seed and feed and suet and hummingbird nectar and nectar powder and bird feeders.
Awesome.
Volumes.
Good for you.
And like, I meant to tell you that last week when we were talking about birding, and the week before when you were talking about birding, but this is the first time that you and I have interacted.
That is rad.
I sell so much bird feeding and bird feed equipment.
Oh, wow. I'm still getting a discount. I have needs. I only have
15%
four feeders
off
right now. It's rough.
I have so many feeders. So many feeders.
I got to get the hummingbird feeders out. I've seen hummingbirds all over the place today. Just today. Weird.
Do you know how hummingbirds migrate?
I do, yeah.
That is so cool.
Have you seen the bird?
You're gonna say that and just not tell the rest of us, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. They spend a couple of weeks eating five times what they normally do and double their body weight down, like in the Yucatan. Then fly in the course of one day across the Gulf of Mexico, about 500 miles to the Texas coast, and then fly the rest of the way up. Either up the Mississippi, or they hang a left and come up on the other side of the Rockies, up the Pacific coast. And
that's crazy.
Actually, a couple of years ago, there was one that was a borderline celebrity in Chicago, a broad-billed hummingbird, I think it was, rarest thing that had been seen in Illinois in many a year, that occasionally showed up in the absolute southern part of New Mexico and Arizona. Usually doesn't make it into the U.S. at all. And for about a week and a half, it hung out in this one particular chestnut tree that was blooming in a park in the middle of Chicago. We went to see it a couple of times, and there were a big ring of birders standing at respectful distance, just watching this little tiny hummingbird dipping in and out of the branches. It was wild.
You reminded me of another thing that I've been doing. I got a library card to a pretty nice library near me. And I read through the Enders series.
Nice.
And recently I've started the Harry Dresden series for the Dresden Files.
Oh, those are good.
Also nice. Yeah, I like those a lot. Those also set in Chicago.
I've read the Enders series.
Almost everyone, I'm like, hey, I've been there.
I read the Enders series many years ago, and I read the first Dresden Files book, and I really enjoyed it. I am just haven't been back to it.
There's like 13, and they're real easy to read.
They make good audiobooks too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'm like every 3 or 4 days, I'm finishing a book.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm waiting for the next Dresden Files to come out. Don't know when that'll be, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty apocalyptic.
yeah. Like, where do you go from there? But I just started. I'm in the middle of the first Codex Alera book.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are good too.
Jim Butcher's done. Liking nice. It so far.
I'm talking, so I'm just gonna keep talking. Everybody cool with that?
Yes, sir.
I haven't left my captain's chair in 36 years.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
Don't worry, I know what all these buttons do. Operation Hammer and Tongs is making headway with our control of Calorum and the Project Elite that's become a thorn in our side there, and the terrible things that befall the people of Calorum on very regular intervals. We're trying to set up some buffers there, so, you know, we deal with less problems there. We've got a war at Tripu because, you know, I love selling all of our listeners and friends blood. You know, we're also making good headway in HIP 4907. Today and tomorrow, we should be air quote finished in HIP We're still working on Calorum and Comma, trying to get several of our expansions going. And I know we go through long spats of either no expansions or like really specifically controlled expansions. We have 3 or 4 systems that we're trying to get proxy expansions going in, so that when we take, you know, our steps in expansion, because we have 3 lined up to do, we're going to the right places. We got 5 systems that we're trying to reduce, 5 that we're keeping an eye on that if you have extra time and you're flying around, we need more reduced. And we got 4 that we're trying to get buffed, 4 collectively, including the ones we talked about already. And I want to say I saw Bloomingwind and Nurgle talking about a proxy war that we were fighting. And for the life of me, I cannot remember where it was. It'll probably be in our daily orders tomorrow. And that concludes the squad update. Anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns about what we're doing? Here, there, and everywhere?
Sounds good, like everything's under control.
But, yeah, if any of our listeners are ever, you know, just twiddling their thumbs at their controls and need some work to do, we got lots of stuff brewing. It's going to be very exciting for the next month.
Good.
Yeah. Anybody read any fancy news articles recently in game? Some Galnet story.
Aren't they all fancy?
Okay, well, I'm gonna click this other button if you guys are cool with that.
Which button is it?
On the board, the King Hattie on Max Bears!
This one.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to you wherever you are, from here, the Tin Hattie Express. Only 2 stories published last week, and both of them are self-explanatory.
That would be inconceivable.
I'll go ahead and sum them up here. New ships that need an ass-whooping. That out of the way, let's get started.
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable!
May 16th, Thargoid motherships discovered within the maelstroms.
Inconceivable!
And May 18th, Thargoid Hunter Vessel class confirmed.
Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
That's all the news last week. Have fun out there.
Inconceivable!
So, I haven't been on the show in a few weeks, and it feels like longer, but boy howdy. There's been some stuff that's gone on since I've been here, and I have lots to talk about.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's been same a here,
while, hasn't it?
I wanna harken back to something I said a very long time ago, and then more recently since then I've repeated it. You know, Odyssey is a really cool concept to add to Elite Dangerous, but I wasn't excited about anything that was initially released with Odyssey. Yeah, we got to get out and walk around and really get a sense of scale for what our ships are, you know, and how fantastically large each of them is. And then, you know, a step up, how absurdly large, you know, Coriolis and Orbis stations are. And then how impressive the elevators are that move our ships up and down in simulated gravity. But what I'm most excited about is what do they add to Odyssey and Elite Dangerous after they've hammered most of the some of the bugs out of Odyssey? Now, what is Horizons Beyond but Odyssey Beyond? And I really think that we're in the thick of it now. Because, like, we got the Maelstrom and asteroids inside the Maelstrom very much out of place, and a huge kinetic weapon that the Maelstroms are generating to push us out. That is so cool. And then the mothership that these asteroids are just hovering around, and the
the new Glaive ships, the Hunter class.
Yeah.
And those.
Why are they here all of a sudden?
I have several questions still to ask. You know? I think they play on each other, because like, why are Thargoids abducting occupied escape pods?
Very good question.
You know, because we don't really have like much of an answer for it either. And what's up with all these Thargoid probes in literally everywhere? Because they've been found in every sector in the galaxy now.
They're just sitting there listening, waiting for people like us to show up and move into the neighborhood.
Right. How much do the Thargoids know, and what else are they going to do? We have the Tyrannus Maelstrom under wraps. We have the Oya system under wraps. I'm sure, you know, two or three of the other maelstroms are hopefully, you know, getting closer to contained. But what is the next step in the Thargoid War? They've escalated with a new ship. The Thargoids, who haven't changed, you know, at all, have released two new ships in less than a year.
Mm.
What are they brewing? What are they cooking? What's Aegis cooking? You know, and like, for sure, surely the Federation and the Empire and Independence all have their own militaries working, hopefully, with Aegis, but surely they're developing stuff on their own too, right?
Hope so.
And what's up with the Kane Macy and the Federation's or the Imperial Mining Corporation's war going on? You know, a lot of people are using mining tools on the mothership to get the resources out of it. I'm really thinking that a lot of these storylines are starting to connect up. We're going to need a big shakeup and a lot of development real soon. And I think,
mining tools on the mothership.
Yeah, you get resources out of the mothership. You have little nodules that you can, when you're close to, can select and then target, and then like abrasion blast them off.
Man, I feel like I've been gone forever.
Yeah, there are a few things you can shoot off the carapace of the maelstrom.
I'm doing it
you
right
have
now.
To get up close to see.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, like there's like a lot of really cool stuff that can be going on, like BGS.
So, say I wanted to go in there and do this, what would I need on my ship?
I would recommend a fairly quick, cold running ship with the Thargoid, the new Thargoid
pulse neutralizer.
Pulse neutralizer.
That you can pick up where?
Every human tech broker, but it requires a Grellic, if memory serves correctly.
Yes, it does. For each purchase, it's not an unlock.
I think you really get it from a rescue ship too, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there's human tech brokers at every rescue ship.
There are, yes.
And it requires one of those Jolly Ranchers.
Ancient relics, yeah.
Yeah, the green apple, yeah.
Yep.
And you have to have run into the maelstrom, what, a dozen or so times, something like that?
Oh, yeah, you got to collect 14, data from the 14 maelstrom.
That was five times. I thought it was just five.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was more than that. I had 71, so I wasn't really paying attention to that number.
You're good.
Yeah, I knew that would be enough.
Collector limpets, decontamination limpets will help you. The caustic launcher would be helpful.
That seems pretty nearly required to get through. Maybe not if you've got enough repair limpets, but
yeah,
it makes it a lot easier. One, I was in an Orca going about 6:30, and one caustic launcher was enough to get me through with a little bit to spare. Running a Mamba in there earlier, I had three sets of them installed and was able to just hang out bouncing against the maelstrom over and over and over again, because it doesn't actually do that much damage. So it doesn't take really more than one, but you do kind of need one to get in there. And then once you're in, you don't need it anymore. There's a bubble inside, so you don't have to keep burning them. You just need it to get far enough to get past the one and maybe two surges. I don't think I've ever had to do it twice.
No.
But maybe if you were slow.
There's the occasional weird pulse thing once you're in here. That's I've happened, seen not that. This play session, but...
I have not seen it in person. I was there when it was quiet.
Yeah, it's been quiet this time, but it'll like shut you down and shake you around a little bit.
And I think do a fair bit of damage if you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just from bouncing you around and you hit the surface or if it just does damage on its own.
I'm sure we'll all know before long.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least those of us who get in there to go see it.
Hmm.
Since it is also limited only to the ship that it's installed on, usually the field neutralizer goes out to 3 kilometers, but this one only affects your actual ship. So you can multi-crew people in with you, but you couldn't escort another ship.
I really ought to get some Grelix.
So what do you need? What do you shoot off of this mothership that you collect?
If memory serves correctly, it's new engineering materials.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And what do I use? What do I use these engineering materials for?
Nothing. That's for them to know and us to
filling up
now.
Your backpack.
Yeah. I can quote some data miners.
So nothing yet.
So get it now, so you don't need to go looking for it once you need it.
Right.
Or wait. Okay. You know, whatever. You can wait. Someone will optimize it for sure. There will be a best practice if there isn't already. And yeah. Elite Dangerous will do what Elite Dangerous does.
Well, we need to set up... I need to get in on more of these nights when Trax is streaming and maybe set up a time when we, you know, go exploring the Maelstrom together or at least go kill Thargoids because I'm in need of some pocket change.
Yeah, we should do that.
Man, I should do that too.
Right, Data?
That's right.
See, Data agrees.
I got 2 glaives and some interceptor bearing down on me right now, so I'm just going to sit here and explode peacefully.
I was going to say good luck with that.
Yeah.
How are those glaives?
They are insane.
Fast as fuck, boy.
They're so fast.
AXI is still researching just how fast, and they haven't tied it down yet. It's been more than a week.
Fast enough that it kind of doesn't matter how fast they go at this point. You know, in order to make a ship to keep up with them, you'd be flying something made of balsa wood with no weapons. So it seems like we just kind of have to learn how to kill them.
Have a boost.
Yeah, they go from regular super fast mode to I'm going to catch you now wherever you are. It feels like they've harnessed rubber banding and weaponized it. You know, it's like their maximum speed is in fact determined by your maximum speed times 1 1/3 or something.
That's funny.
They're not super difficult to kill. They're not really really tough, but they have like super bi-weaves. Their shields come back fast and often. They have some kind of built-in shield cell banks or something, I'm sure. But they don't have really sturdy armor, so you take appropriate chunks out of them when you hit them, but they're not easy to hit. I tried with fixed missiles, and it was a frustrating attempt.
Yeah. They kind of have, like, very quick phases they move through, and sometimes, I think between a couple of them, they'll be still for a moment. You can let off a couple of missiles.
My goodness.
Yeah. And they fry your Guardian modules with ease.
We're lots of people are still trying to hammer out the best way to fight those because it's tough even for the seasoned AX pilots. And they do fry Guardian modules very quickly, including Guardian weapons.
And they poop a funny little missile that reboots your FSD, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Something like that. I know Trax saw a little torpedo, I think, spinning behind one at the same time that it had launched some caustic missiles out the front.
I think the focused point defense turret that came out once as a reward and is eventually supposed to be available again, you know, for purchase, I think that guy is probably going to be a part of the meta. I'm for it. I like running.
That certainly makes sense. I know. I just briefly this afternoon saw a note from Burr that he was working on a hypothesis that the ECM seems to scramble those missiles as well. At least the I think they're called containment missiles or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, there might be something defensive to interact with a little bit more. Some kind of learning how to parry that we have to do, but. I also don't know to what extent those missiles are the problem, you know. They fry your Guardian modules, and that kind of screws you in the first place. I haven't been killed by enough of them to have a good sense of it yet either, but they are certainly formidable. And they show up with hyperdictions and interdictions now, too. So you could theoretically at least be flying past war space on a mission of peace and be hyperdicted by two glaives, which would ruin your day quickly.
Sounds like it.
And that's kind of new. You know, for it being a war simulation and a war game, you know, we want it to feel like everything is surmountable, that we're not set up to fail in some impossible task. But it's a war simulation. And there's this thing that happens in war where people get killed and lose sometimes. So the fact that there are non-survivable or borderline non-survivable game events that can happen to somebody who is not aware of where exactly they are in space, I think it's kind of cool. You know, I'm okay with that. It sucks when it happens, but again, war, you know.
Yeah. Right.
There's a certain amount where, you know, we want the immersion of it feeling like a war game, and sometimes it's going to suck, and sometimes it sucks for a considerable amount of time. One of the story arcs in war is that you end up on the wrong side of a technological advancement, and either you catch up and swing back, or you don't, and you lose the war. So to think that we're always going to be right in it, you know, is a little, I don't know, a little maybe misguided for something that is a simulation with a big story in it, as opposed to a big story with a game mechanic built around it, if that makes sense. Like, to a certain extent, we want it to suck because we want it to be realistic or at least plausible, and we want it to be war. And we don't want it to be a war where we win immediately and undeniably, so for it to feel good, it has to suck sometimes. And I think we're on the verge of one of those sometimes, at least for a little bit. Because
that's fine by me. I want a long, at all. I want a long, hard-fought war. Let's do this.
Yeah. I'm down.
What else we got, Hate?
I'm tapped. What? I'm tapped, and we've gotten to the end of the show notes.
What's on the notes?
Anybody watch the dev stream? I did not. Apparently, it was good.
No, I was working.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, it's worth checking out for sure.
I did not have time, but I would like to go back and watch it.
I don't know if we know anybody in the Stellar screenshots, but you can certainly. The developer stuff was enjoyable and worth checking out. And good to hear them talking about how much they play the game and how they play the game and how their experience of it is playing the game and telling each other, you know, what things need to be adjusted or fixed, and that they are genuinely aficionados of playing the game.
Yeah, it's always fun to hear the actual devs come on and talk about things with the game. I really enjoy that.
Yeah,
I'll try to go back.
Worth checking it out for sure.
Check it out. I recommend you do that as well out there.
You, yeah, we're talking to you.
You specifically. You know who you are. You know who you are. Sit up. Wake up.
You're not a shrimp. Stretch out.
I know we're doing ASMR, but That's no excuse for you to be sleeping.
Well.
So.
Is that all?
So that's all we had on the. That's all we had on the discussion for the in the show notes.
Yeah, I wrapped the Tharkoid bug report, the bug report, and dev news all into that.
Okay. Then, why is there anything we need to check in Chig Chat?
Is there Chig Chat? I forgot Chig wasn't here to do Chig Chat.
It's Chig Chat!
We here at Loose Screws never end a sentence with a preposition.
Grover.
Yeah.
Grover called Chig Mr. Chig and shared it with a picture of Pumbaa.
That was funny. They call me Mr. Chig.
Luckily, Chig doesn't look like a pig because he's an avid runner.
I don't know. He might still. You never know. We have to look at him side by side and see.
Challenge accepted.
It's a me. It's a Chig.
Okay. I see a lot of penis jokes.
There's a lot of penis jokes.
There's always that's typical of Chig Chat, though.
Penis and cheese.
I do like that sign in that, from that.
War Games.
Yeah, from War Games, where it said anyone urinating this area will be discharged. That's pretty funny. That Commander Rabbi Bob shared.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I wouldn't know. I live under a rock.
Oh, I saw that.
It's totally worth watching.
Years and years ago. Yeah, it's totally worth
watching. Especially nowadays, actually.
Eh. Kind of, sort of. Anyway.
The original Sinister Chatbots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I haven't watched any Star Trek.
Oh,
well, we're talking about War Games, not Star Trek.
You were talking about The Wire. We've started watching Star Trek The Next Generation here. I haven't seen it in a very long time. And my wife, I think, has seen a lot of them or most of them. But
all right, enjoy.
Doesn't have a strong set of associations. I got together with my friends every Friday night when it was going to be on for at least the first few years of it. Got me through the end of high school and into college.
Man. So
I also, though, have a cultivated ability to get into something I'm watching, but not necessarily to remember it so well after the fact. So I can...
And, you know... Star Trek The Next Generation started in what, 1988?
Did it? I guess so. So not quite before high school.
I was four.
I was 13. Hmm. So pretty perfect age for the beginning of Star Trek The Next Generation, I think.
I was negative a few.
And computers, too. Those They all kind of showed up at the same time. It was pretty sweet.
Right.
But okay, yeah, so we're watching The Next Generation, and it's fun getting my brain back into that territory after many years, and it holds up very well. It's in a lot of cases better than I remember it, so that's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, that's good.
Data can talk Star Trek Next Generation for probably hours. If only Chig were here and Nurgle, they'd really get down on that too.
Yep.
They're probably yelling at the recording later that we're too young.
While they're playing Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Stop yelling at us that we're too young and go fix your wooden teeth. Or something. Remember, I don't know.
Brush with a Sensodyne tonight.
I have a picture.
Salt is a way of life.
I could use this threatened for them.
I'm sorry. Hey, go ahead.
I have a picture of my unkempt lawn that I could use to threaten them.
Yeah. Yeah, you
how
ask.
Bad my lawn, look at how bad my lawn looks.
I need to amend my introduction and what's been up recently. It's summertime, so cutting grass is what's up.
Well, hopefully the grass is down after you cut it.
Cutting grass is always on my mind. It starts growing. It starts growing right after you cut it again. It's bogus. Like, what?
It's always growing.
I gotta.
And did you not know that?
We live in a water-rich area.
That's how grass works.
Fast AF anyway.
Man, I thought it'd be like Super Saiyan's hair, right? It only grows to a certain length and it stops. Why can't my grass be like that? Just stop growing. Be happy with what you have.
Wish my lawn was emo. Then it would cut itself.
Oh.
Are there still emo people? Or is emo done?
I'm sure there are.
It's coming back.
They might have a different name now, but...
It's a circle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All these squares make a circle.
What's next? Is it time for cheese?
I had a big block of Colby Jack as an after-work snack today.
Oh. We're not talking about Colby Jack cheese. We're talking about cheese of the week.
Where the cheese at?
The cheese that I picked for this week is called Lacey Swiss. It's an American Swiss cheese. People generally mistake it for Baby Swiss because they're both characterized by small, widespread, open holes, but their tastes are actually different from each other. Lacey Swiss is made from low-fat cow's milk, and when sliced, it's supposed to look like thin sheets of lace is what it tends to look like. And in contrast to Swiss cheese, it's got a very mild flavor with nutty undertones, more along the lines of Monterey Jack and provolone. But it is a low calorie and less salty, healthy alternative to regular Swiss cheese. So there you go. Lacey Swiss.
I've been struck by the realization that I haven't talked about what's in my fridge right now.
Sure, go for us.
You ever heard how really high quality Parmesan cheese is described?
No.
No.
I'm gonna use some small words here. It smells kind of like feet. It's pretty bad. Yeah. Like pungent as heck.
So is this because you have Parmesan in your fridge?
What's in my fridge is not very high quality Parmesan cheese. It is vegan Parmesan cheese, and it's stanky and very difficult to palate.
You can go all over the world and not see nothing as bad as this right here.
I not a fan.
You have vegan funk powder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. But like it's blocks of, like, whoa, you know, like wedges of vegan Parmesan cheese.
Is it hard like Parmesan would be?
It is definitely grateable, but it is not cheese.
It's a block of vegan funk.
But I got it for free, so I'm gonna use it because I believe in moderation, it would be very, very akin to what Parmesan ought be.
Okie doke.
I will be back later with more information.
Yeah, I'll bet.
When I'm brave enough to try it again.
You reminded me. It was time for me. The time came for me to get a new grill. It's grilling season, and I needed a new one. So I've joined Teflon in the Blackstone gang.
Yes! Welcome.
At work, I actually got a whole skid of Blackstones off a truck today.
Yeah,
I love Walmart it.
$2.97 deal for the 36-inch griddle. Oh, yeah.
I love it so much.
I've used it like 3 times already.
What have you made on there?
I would run out of gas so fast.
Yeah. I did finish off the tank I already had open. Burgers, dogs, brats, and some chicken, too, so far.
Nice.
Very yummy stuff.
You gotta get some breakfast going on there.
Did you get a griddle brick with it?
No.
Do you have a griddle brick? Is. Okay.
I don't know what that is. Nope, just some spatulas
Do you guys want me to be like tell you how to take care of a griddle on air?
I know sure, how to take ahead. Care of cast iron. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that's the way I treat it. It's a cast iron.
It's not cast iron. It's similar and also different. So like when you're done cooking, it's gonna be hopefully still warm, right? The metal. Turn your burners up on hot so you get the pores to open up, you know? Like cast iron.
How physics works.
And you scrape it. You know, get the debris off.
Right.
And then you use a griddle brick, which is very much what it sounds like just a brick. A pumice stone. And you do the job twice. Once you do it with hot oil. So if you had like warm oil at your griddle to lubricate it, you'd spray that on there, and then you would work the brick back and forth across the dirt. And then you'd pat your brick off and then like towel quickly the oil out of the way. And then you can either leave your burners on or turn them off. And then you throw ice, not ice water, but ice on there. Ooh. And then you grill it, you brick it again. And then you towel it off. And then if you're leaving it outside, you would let it cool a little and then oil it so it doesn't attract rust.
I'm okay. Squinting. My squint of skepticism that sounds is like strong right work. Now. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical.
I've worked in kitchens with griddles before.
Okay.
Like I'm sure you are correct that griddles. That is a... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it works great. I'm sure I would not successfully do it every time I grilled if I had one of those. I don't think.
Good to know, though. If I start having issues, I'll keep that in mind.
Anyway, you got to do breakfast.
And I'm sure
there.
one of those things at a clean, smooth polish is something to behold.
I have made so much bacon and eggs on my Blackstone since we got it. It is fantastic. Burgers, wonderful for smash burgers. My mother-in-law got me one of those, like, what are they called? You smash the burgers down with?
Yeah.
You put it on there. Burger smasher?
Yeah, a burger press. I can never remember. You smash it down, let it sit on top, or I use it, I put it on top of the buns when I'm toasting the buns. Yeah. Oh, man. Smash burgers I make are like, oh, we all love them. Like, there are these smash burgers with, like, and then I put on grilled onions and then the burger. And then, first you toast the buns, then I put on some grilled onions and then the smash burger, right? And then this cheese sauce that I make on there, this real thick cheese sauce. And
how many C's in the thick?
Oh, my God. It is fucking the best.
You're making me hungry.
And me too. Making myself hungry.
Let's all go out and cook something up.
Breakfast for dinner tomorrow. Yeah. That's my plans. I got bacon already. Ooh, nice. 36 eggs.
Nice.
Shall we do the movie anniversaries?
I guess.
Okay. So, as Hold of on. May 20... Oh, sorry.
No, what you're about to say is blowing my mind.
Well, as of May 24th, Fast and the Furious 6 is 10 years old.
Gross.
Like Fast and the Furious, the sixth one. The sixth one they made.
The sixth one.
Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was released 15 years ago today.
Oh, no. That hurts me physically.
Tomorrow, May 23rd, Bruce Almighty will be 20 years old. Okay. The one with Jim Carrey where he gets the powers of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine for a one-time watch. Today marks 25 years since Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas was released. 25 years ago.
Wow.
That makes me feel old, too. Speaking of old... if you're old, you may remember that Rambo 3 was released 35 years ago on May the 25th this week. So
I don't think anyone remembers that.
No, I'm sure some people do. Nurgle does.
Where he was when Rambo 3 came out?
Yeah, he was already like, probably like, I don't even have a joke ready.
He was in Vietnam, I think.
Opening up a sweatshop. And the final one I have, Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, on May the 25th, turns 40. Mm. 40 years ago. My favorite one of the Star Wars original trilogy movies.
Wow.
Oh, we always wow. really liked that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, don't all sound so excited. Man. Jesus Christ.
It's way past a lot of our bedtimes.
All right. All right, we'll talk about something while I start the robot. Jesus.
Man, I ran a borrowed weed eater through three whole tanks of fuel. And like, I'm a pretty strong guy. And my right bicep from like actually holding the engine up, because I didn't have a strap because it was borrowed, it was just so sore. It took me 6 hours to weed eat my backyard.
That's my least favorite part of.
Well, I like running the trimming, but normally, you know, you like walk around your fence line and house, and then you're done. But I had to like get the whole acreage, you know, because the grass was up to my hips in some places.
None of your neighbors had a goat you could borrow, let them make that.
I live in town.
Okay.
Teflon bot loading.
Oh hey, it's finally done.
Teflon bot loading. Buffering. If you like the show, please rate and review on your podcast player, which helps people find the show. Join us on Discord at discord.io/loosecrews and check out the merch store at loosecrewsed.com for mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/loosecrewsed. I'm sorry, error 404, Chig not found. Shutting down.
What a fitting episode to end out on a whimper.
All right, everybody, pleasantly say goodbye and farewell.
Goodbye. Fuck, I'm not doing that. Farewell. No, I'm not saying goodbye like that. No, because you know why? Because I'm
just something.